Hey, Jude. Don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it better. Yeah. Remember to let her under your skin, and then you'll begin to make it better. Oh, that was a weak build. But we know that song, and that part in that song is better, 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 better. We like better things, don't we? The word just sounds good. Better. Doesn't it? Say that word. Say it with me. Say better. Better. That just feels good. Say worse. See, listen to that. You can't even try and say worse in a happy frame of mind. Say worse. It just doesn't work. It's really tough to say better in a bad frame of mind. Better. It just doesn't fit. Better. We like better. This past year, Apple released the iPhone 7, which was better than the iPhone 6. Supposedly. The first couple of weeks that the iPhone 7 was released, it showed almost as many sales as Apple's record iPhone 6 sales. Though the iPhone 7 was not the jump from 6 as 6 was from 5. It was a little underwhelming. Still, even before its release, places were selling out of pre-orders of the iPhone 7. Before it had even hit the shelves, places were sold out. People who didn't get a pre-order, they had to wait for the second batch of i7s, even before they'd touched them, even before they'd looked at them themselves. Because we're trained that 7 is always going to be better than 6. Because 6 was supposed to be better than 5. We've been trained this way. And this has been happening for decades. Because in 1977, this was what was better. Oh, we got that one. That was my first one. Let's move to the next one. There we go. Ta-da. 1977, introducing the Apple II. Which was obviously better than Apple what? One that was released just a year earlier in 1976. So Apple II was better because it was newer, and newer means it's better, right? Newer is better. The Apple II was better because it was newer than the Apple I. The iPhone 7 was supposed to be better. It wasn't really that much better, but it was supposed to be better than the 6 because it was newer. So newer means that it's better, so it's always better when it's newer, right? Maybe not so in 1985. There we go. New Coke. You guys remember this? 1985, New Coke. And what was that little slogan there? America's taste just got what? Better, 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 better. America's case just got better. And in the 80s, since that was the 80s, am I fair to go, psych? Okay, I've got a couple 80s children here. They're like, I get that. New Coke. It was supposed to be better because it was new. But instead of being better, it was worser. It was a lot worser. It was not very good at all. That marketing scheme fell flat on its face. And within 3 months, Coke announced the return of the original formula by the name of Coke Classic. See, they had tried this in 1985 to compete with the sugary taste of its competitor, Pepsi. And by making Coke sweeter into New Coke, it didn't work out for them. So maybe newer isn't always better, but better is always better, right? We can't disagree with that. I found this. This is a really creative commercial here. This is a Daihatsu ad. Picks up 5 times more women than a Lamborghini. Technically, that's not false advertisement. You can fit 6 people in there. So, yeah, 5 times more. That's better in that mind. So, better. Better. What does that word mean to us? What does that mean to us as individuals? What does that mean to us as Christians? What does that mean to us as a church? Better. Better. You're going to be sick of that word. after this year. I hope not. But we're going to take 2017 and we're going to explore better. 2017, better. So if 2016 was good, guess what? I've got good news for you. 2017 is going to be better. If 2016 was great, guess what? 2017 can be better. If 2016 was, it's okay. Guess what? It can be better. If 2016 was a horrible year, it can be better. 2017, better. We're going to look at things that we can do to make ourselves better, to make the church better, to serve better, to operate better, to think better, to make better choices. Better, 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 better. And we're starting off this whole year of better. We're studying a book that's all about better. And so for the first 10 weeks of this year, we're going to be looking at the book of Hebrews, because out of the 41 times that the word better shows up in the New Testament, 11 of those times is in the book of Hebrews. A book that takes up 4% of the New Testament contains 25% of the uses of the word better. So if we're going to do that in fractions, 1/25, a book that takes up 1/25 of the New Testament, who uses 1/25? We just don't even have a comprehension of how small that is when using fractions. It uses 1/4, 1/4 of the uses of the references to the word better. And in addition to the word better, there are a lot of other understood betters, a lot of implied betters that are throughout the book of Hebrews. It's a book about better. It's a book about how Jesus is better. He's better than the angels. He's better than Moses. He provides us a better Exodus. He offers a better rest than the Sabbath rest. Jesus is better than Abraham. He offers a better hope with better promises, with a better covenant. And that better covenant, that offers a better motivation for better behavior so that we can be better children of God, so that we have better reasons to trust God, to be faithful in Him, and our faith in God has better results. We have a better resurrection. We have a better retirement. Because Jesus offered a better sacrifice that was a once-for-all sacrifice using better blood than what was used before, that provides a better cleansing. Jesus is a better high priest than all of the other high priests that came before Him or anyone that would come after Him. He was better. And so we have a better country that we long for, and we have a better kingdom that we are a part of. It is better. And that's the book of Hebrews in a nutshell. Better, better, better. So we're going to be spending 10 weeks just talking about better. What a great way to start off the new year. Amen? Better, 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 better. So the Hebrews writer, and we don't know if it's his book or her book. We don't know who the writer of Hebrews was. But the Hebrews writer starts off this awesome book about better. And the writer starts off with a single sentence that takes up the first four verses of our book of Hebrews. And so if you look down there, and you're more than welcome to find it in your digital Bible. If you brought a regular Bible with you, you can find it there, the book of Hebrews. And as you come in through the week, you can go on and find your place there in Hebrews. We'll be just moving along one bit at a time today, just a little bit, because it's just such a powerful introduction to this awesome book, and how this author starts laying out this foundation for better, better, better. It's better. Jesus is better. So these first four verses, this single sentence, keep that in mind. In the Greek, this is one sentence, all that we're about to read. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom He made the universe. Take off that period. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. No more period. No period there. After he had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So He became as much superior to the angels as the name He has inherited is superior to theirs. So that last verse, that last part of that one huge sentence, we're going to be talking about that. That's kind of going to bridge our subject into next week. Jesus is better than the angels. Today, I'd like to just look at those first three verses. And there are eight betters in those first three verses. Though the word doesn't show up better These are some of those understood betters that are elaborated on later in the book, later in the letter to the Hebrews. But we have eight betters right there. And so we're going to be popping these real quick. Now today's not a real educational day. I don't expect anyone to come in here and learn something brand new. And if you do, that's awesome. That's great. But today is a lot of things that a lot of you have heard before. But what I'm wanting to do at the beginning of a new year is stir these betters up. To bring this back up to the surface as we start into a new week, a new year. January 1, right here, the first day of 2017, a great day to be in church. Those that aren't here, man, they are missing out. Because this is going to be a great way to start your year with a great attitude of thinking better, of being better, behaving better, because Jesus is better. And we're going to be reminded in these eight betters that Jesus is better. So go back up to verse 1 there. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. I just want to pause there and go back to... So God spoke. How did God choose to create the world and the universe? And he spoke. Jesus was the what? The Word of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Speaking, words, language is very important to God. And yet at the beginning, and this the Greek is actually reversed here, which is pretty interesting because the way that it introduces the book is he just starts off and he says, by bits and fractions scattered, by little bits scattered throughout the history to our ancestors, God has spoken. But in these last days, he has spoken to us through his son, Jesus, by his son. So Jesus, as a spokesman, God speaks to us through him. Let's go and take some notes. We're going to write these down. These will be very simple. Jesus has a spokesman. God speaks to us through him. In the past, God spoke it many times in various ways. All sorts of different ways that God spoke, through prophets, and he spoke through angels, through dreams, through occasions, through circumstances, through wet fleeces, dry fleeces, whatever the different things. God spoke it many different times, many different ways in the past. Little bits scattered over hundreds and hundreds of years. God gave glimpses of the gospel of Christ that was to come, glimpses of the Messiah, glimpses of the Lord and Savior Jesus, who we know, who we have now. But in these last days, instead of speaking to us in fractions, in little bits, and in random pieces, God has spoken to us in the fulfillment of Jesus. And that's better. He is a better spokesman for God. We have a better communication from God because of Jesus. Because of Jesus, we understand what God wants from us. It's been made clear to us. We don't have to guess. We understand the heart of the law now because of Jesus, not just the letter of the law. We understand God's love. We understand God's grace. We understand how God wants us to respond to his offer of forgiveness. That we believe in Jesus, his son. That we confess our faith in him, that we repent and we are baptized into him, and we receive forgiveness of our sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit, and then we continue to keep in step with the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And that's how we are to respond to God's offer for forgiveness that was laid out through Jesus, that was made clear to us. We have a better communication through Jesus. I think a lot of the things we're going to run into in Hebrews, and I'll try to do my best to try and kind of mix things up here a little bit to bring some relevance. But the original context, the understanding was, here's the Old Covenant, here's the Old Testament, here's the way things used to be. And we don't know that. We didn't practice that on a yearly basis. And we'll be digging into some of the things. So I'm not going to go into detail there right now. I still want to, but I'm going to leave it. But we've got 10 weeks, we'll be digging into some of this. There's so many practices, so many things that they did that for the original readers of this, they could see the difference. They could see, wow, this is what we did for so many years, and Jesus is better. No doubt about it. He's better. He's a better mediator. There's a better hope. It's a better sacrifice, better blood, better. And not because it's newer. It's just better and better is better. See, we miss out on that because we're kind of 2,000 years spoiled with Jesus. We don't understand the old covenants, the old practices. And so we don't quite get the impact that the book of Hebrews has. And that's what we're going to try to bring out in the next 10 weeks. But in addition to that, not only was Jesus better than that as far as original context, when we look at it in relevance to our life, Jesus is better than anything. It's not just the old covenant. He's better than any other way there is to try and connect with God, any other way there is to try and live, any other way that there is to try and go through life. He is better. So original context, he's better than old covenant, but in any of the things we're talking about, in any of these 10 weeks, you can take the better and you can put it against anything in your life right now, today, and he's going to be better, I guarantee it. He's a better communication from God. We have a better communication through Jesus. You're not going to get anything better than the words of Christ as far as the communication from God. They are concrete. They are written down for us, recorded in the Gospels. And so we have no excuse. God has made his general will very clear, perfectly clear, crystal clear through Jesus. So if we want to live better, if we want a better 2017, if we want to be a better kingdom contributor, if we want to be a better person, if we want to be a better spouse, if we want to be a better parent or a better child, if we want to live better, if we want to be better in our workplace, then we have to recognize that Jesus is a better spokesman for God and that we have the better communication from God than any other communication, any other advice, any other way to live that you have out there that you can come across. We have it better in Jesus. And so we should take his words and we should hang our hat on his very words, that his words are truth. His words are trustworthy. They are guarantees. His words are accurate and we must live by them if we want to live better. The Hebrews writer continues, he says, whom he appointed heir of all things. Now keep in mind, this is one huge sentence. Whom he appointed heir of all things. So number two, Jesus as a prince, heir of all things. Jesus is the prince and he's also the king, really. But in this sense, we see that the Father, God the Father, has appointed him heir of all things. And we read in Romans that we are co-heirs with Christ. So Jesus, as we see Jesus as this prince-like figure, that this son who inherits the kingdom, then we see a better assurance for our hope because we see that Jesus received it and we are assured that we are co-heirs with Christ. And so as the Father gave to the Son and he gives to us all that he gives to the Son, it's a better assurance of the hope that we have. We have a better reason to hope. We have good reason to be assured of the hope that we have. That yes, we hope. What we hope for, we don't yet have. But we hope for it. And it's not an empty hope. I think we kind of use this word hope very loosely. I'm not against that. I know there's context for different things, but we hear the word hope a lot. We hope for this, or we hope we'll get this. We just came out of Christmas time, or I hoped I would get this, and I got this, you know. Or we hoped we got this, and we got this. Or we hope for this, or we hope this outcome will happen this way, or we hope that this will not happen, or we hope that this will happen. We have all these hope, and a lot of our lesser hopes have no assurance. They're just empty hopes. We just hope for them. And once again, nothing wrong with those hopes, but we need to distinguish the difference between these lesser hopes and the greatest hope, the better hope, and that is the hope that we have in Christ. And that hope, of all the hopes we have, is an assured hope, a guaranteed hope. It's not an empty hope. And that's a great thing. This inheritance that God has promised to those who have faith in him, God showed it. He said, I'm going to promise this inheritance to you. Now watch, I'm going to give it to my son. Look what I gave him. Look all I did for him. Look at how I provided for him. Look how I cared for him. Look how I protected him. Look how I raised him from the dead. Amen? It's all because of Jesus I'm alive, right? We just sung that. Man, what a great thing. And God says, you see this inheritance that I gave to my son? You're my son. You're my daughter. It's yours too. It's a better assurance of the hope we have, that we have in Jesus. And man, that's a great thing. Jesus was appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. So Jesus, as an architect, made the world. God used Jesus to make the universe. There's no doubt that Jesus had a major part in the creation of all things. That is consistent throughout Scripture. The actual function of the Trinity, and if there are different parts and how they each, you know, that's not as clear. But it is very clear that Jesus was hands-on involved in the creation of all that we know. And that is a big deal. That is a very big deal, because it was Jesus, the creator, who came into his creation to share about why we were created, to give us meaning and purpose, so we have a better connection to the purpose of our existence because of Jesus. We have a better connection to the purpose of our existence because of Jesus. When we listen to Jesus' teachings, we listen to them and we hear, this is purpose. This is a better life. This is what meaning means, because it comes from Jesus. We have a better connection to the purpose of our existence. We have a better connection to the meaning of our life, about what really matters, about what really has value. And that's a big deal, because it's very easy to get confused this side of heaven about what's valuable and what's not, about what's important and what's not, about how to build priorities, what takes first place, what takes second place. What am I supposed to do in life? What's my meaning in life? What's my purpose in life? And there's so many other voices. But in these last days, God has spoken to us through his son, Jesus, a better spokesperson, a better communication from God. And because of Jesus, we have a better connection to the purpose of our existence, because he made us. He knows why we were created, because he created us. He knows the what's most important in our lives, because he invented life itself. And that's a big deal. So listening to Jesus about our lives, what to do, what not to do, that should be a big deal. We should listen intently to his words, to his teachings, to the gospels, and really lean in as we dig into the teachings of Christ, because they are words from our Creator about why we were created. The writer continues. It says, the sun is the radiance of God's glory. Jesus is brilliant. Brilliant. Radiance of God's glory. Through the New Testament, the references to light are references to truth. Light equals truth. Jesus is the light. Jesus is truth. He is the truth about God's glory. He is the radiance of God's glory. He is the light, the truth of God's glory. So in Jesus, we have a better revelation of God. God is revealed through Jesus. And we can have a relationship with God only because Jesus revealed him to us. Only because of this better revelation. And that's really, really, really better. Try and imagine, it's so difficult after 2,000 years of being spoiled. But try and imagine connecting with God without Jesus. It's really better with him. It's really better with Jesus. We could not have this revelation of God without Jesus, without him coming the way that he did. God shared with his people for thousands of years through the Old Testament. But God has been revealed in a much better way through his son Jesus. And we get a chance to experience that. We get the better. We get a better revelation of Jesus. I think often we take this for granted. People died in the Old Testament if they were to come into contact with God's glory. Moses got the chance to sit in God's presence, and his face would glow radiance. He asked God if he could see his glory, and God said, not really, but you go hide in the cleft of this rock, I'll pass before you, and then you can catch the tail end. You can catch the trailings of my glory. But here, Jesus, thousands of years later, sitting here in church, and we sing, it's all because of Jesus. We sing about our God is greater, that he turned water to wine, all these things. Jesus is the radiance of God's what? Glory. And for thousands of years, God's glory was something that was kept from his people. And here we have Jesus, the radiance of God's glory, and we are invited to come and let him into our life. That's better, isn't it? So, man, we take it for granted. Here's Jesus, the radiance of God's glory. Later in Hebrews, the writer will talk about how we've not come to a mountain that is burning with fire, that we've not come into darkness, gloom, and storm, or frightening words from God. This is the picture of the mountain where Moses went up to for the Ten Commandments. And the writer of Hebrews says that's not the mountain we've come to. No, the mountain we've come to is Jesus. And that's better. That's better. Jesus, the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. Each of these, just so powerful, and it's so easy to just read over them. When I was looking at 10 weeks for this series, I was thinking, you know what, I don't know if I should spend 1 week on just three verses, but I couldn't help it, because these verses, they just set the stage for the rest of the book. And this is a great, great, great better. The exact representation of his being. Jesus as an ambassador. An ambassador is someone who represents someone else. Well, Jesus represents as an ambassador that we've never seen before. He is the exact representation of God's nature. Jesus, Emmanuel, that means God with us. Jesus came as an exact representation of God, of the nature of God. So in Jesus, we have a better understanding of who God is and why he does what he does. Sure, we'll still have questions about the mysterious ways of God, how God moves, or why he's moving this way or not moving that way, why he's taking his time or why he moves so quickly in certain instances. But Jesus is better when it comes to understanding God's motive, why God does what he does. Jesus is better than what the Israelites had. And it's better than anything that we'd have around us. Anything else around us that would say, well, this was the way God's doing this, or, you know, we have friends, maybe they'll talk into our situation and different things. No, Jesus, if you want to know how God works and you want to get into the center of who God is, don't look to other sources, because Jesus is better. Jesus is the way that we can get to understand God. He is a better ambassador because he's the exact representation of God. We see God through Jesus. We see the mind of God through the mind of Jesus. We see what God values, what God deems as important. We see the logic of God's principles laid out by Jesus in his teachings. We see the heart of God through the heart of Christ. We see what moves God. We see what God's passionate about because we see what Jesus is passionate about. We see what God is saddened by what saddens Jesus. We see what excites God by what excites Jesus. We see the heart of God. We see the mind of God through Jesus. And that is definitely better. The next better is that God, sustaining all things by Jesus' powerful word, by his powerful word. Jesus, as a sustainer, upholds all things. Sustaining all things by his powerful word. Jesus holds it all together. He upholds it all. He is the sustainer. And because we get this, we get to experience a better stability. Much better stability in contrast to the old covenant. When you think about some of the things in the old covenant, there wasn't stability back then. But in Jesus, we have a better stability. So we take old covenant, but we also look around us. Look all around you. There's nothing more stable than Jesus. There's not a better source of stability for your life, for your decisions, for your choices, for your heart, for your mind than Jesus. Think of the things that we try to find stability in. You know, your bank account. Your bank account will fail you. It's a bad time to bring that up after Christmas, isn't it? Your retirement, your savings, your wealth, it has the opportunity, the chance to let you down. Your family, your friends will fail you. Even your spouse, your children, your parents, your closest, most trusted friends, they will let you down from time to time. You will even let yourself down. You will even fail yourself. You will have failures at work where you know you could have done, you should have done, if you would have done, but you're going to fail yourself at work and you're going to let yourself down, and that's going to hurt. You'll have moral failures in your personal life and you'll let yourself down. Some of those will be public, some of them are very private, but you know. And you know that you failed yourself in the moral area of your life, in a moral area of your life. Your body will fail you sometimes. You have health concerns. Sometimes we have health things that go on that just pop out of nowhere. And our bodies fail us. Our bodies let us down. Our choices, our decisions will let us down. But Jesus is better. Jesus is better because he holds all things together. No matter how unstable whatever you went through in 2016 was, guess what? 2017 is going to be better. And just simply this one little piece, being reminded that Jesus holds it all together. Jesus holds it all together. He is a better sustainer. He's also a better sanitizer. Let's read this. After he provided purification for our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So two of them right there. Let's go back to the beginning of that section of verse 3. Jesus as a sanitizer. I want you to think about this one. Every time you use that alcohol rub on your hands, you know, when you're sanitizing your hands. I know when I'm going to the hospital and visiting different people, I'm always looking for those in between rooms just to make sure I'm not taking anything with me and to make sure I'm not taking anything into the next room I'm going into. We've got those here in the church. And we go on a mission trip. Sometimes the water and soap's not always available. And so we take the little hand sanitizers with us. Whatever the case, whenever you use that, I want you to think about Jesus as a better sanitizer. Sounds a little strange, but I tell you, the next time you wash your hands, the next time you use hand sanitizer, and that pops in your head, you're going to be thankful. Because Jesus is better. And the more you think about Jesus, the better things are going to be. Because he's better. It's better. It's a better sanitizer. Purification for our sins. He washed our sins away. Not news to a lot of us here. Jesus paid for my sins. He went to the cross for me. God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son. God showed his grace, his mercy on us by pouring out his wrath on his son, and his son was obedient to the cross to pay for my sins, to pay for your sins. Maybe not new information for us, but we need to be reminded that that definitely is a better way to live. That's a better place to be covered by his blood, to be covered by his forgiveness, to have his purification of sins, to be sanitized, to have our soul sanitized by Jesus. We have a better cleansing. Better than anyone ever had before him, and better than anyone else could ever provide. Better than anything that we could do for ourselves. You can't cleanse yourself. You can't fix the wrongs. You can't make atonement for your sins. None of us can. Jesus can and did and does. Not only that, not only does he remove, purify the sin in our life. But a little later in Hebrews, he talks about how Jesus has the power, that he's better because he offers a better cleansing that cleanses our consciences from acts that lead to death. So not only do we get purified from sin, but Jesus is so better, and I know that doesn't quite fit, but I want to use the word better again, but Jesus is so better in doing this, he not only purifies a sin, but he can remove the guilt associated with the sin. That's better. You can't do that. Try it. Even after accepting God's forgiveness, you go and you try to remove that guilt without his help. The accuser's always there. He's always going to throw it. I know when David cries out in the Psalms, my sin is always before me. I'm with him there. And I think that would go for all of us. You cannot cleanse your conscience from acts that lead to death, from acts of rebellion against God, from acts of negligence of God's commands. You can't rid your mind of that. But Jesus is a better sanitizer. Jesus cleanses better because he can remove that. He can remove the guilty conscience. And after providing that sacrifice that provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Jesus, as a judge, sits in authority. He's a better source of justice. There's going to be multiple places in the book of Hebrews where he returns to this idea that Jesus is a better mediator, that Jesus is a better high priest because he can relate to us. Jesus, as a judge, he sits at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. He sits in authority, and he is a better source of justice. I want you to listen to those three verses again. Just three quarters of this first sentence of this awesome book. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. Hopefully, as we're hearing this, we just hear the word better, 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 better. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. He's spoken better. Whom he appointed heir of all things, a better heir. And through whom he also made the universe, a better connection to God. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, a better revelation of God. And the exact representation of his being, a better representation, a better ambassador. Sustaining all things by his powerful word, a better stability in our life. After he had provided purification, better purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven as a better judge. Jesus is better. Amen. This next week, I want you to start your new year off. And here's the challenge. The challenge is simple. But I want you to take these three verses. If you want to read the fourth one, if you want to read the whole sentence, then you'll be prepping for next week a little bit. But if you just take those first three verses, and I want you to test God's word. I want you to test the power of thinking better, the power of thinking of Jesus, the power of focusing and concentrating on just the simplicity of the better that Jesus is for us. And I want you to start off your work week Monday morning. Before you leave the house, before you get things going, I want you to just take, it's just three verses. If you got the Bible, a digital Bible, pull it up on your phone. If you're doing old school Bible, then just go and print it out. Type it up, print it out on a little piece of paper that you can have with you. And just read these three verses. Maybe you can have your sermon notes right there with you to remind you of all the individual pieces, of all eight of these betters. I want you to read that, and I just want you to take a moment, just reflect on that before you start your day. And I want you to go into your week. The first Monday of 2017, I want you to go into it thinking about Jesus better. Jesus is better. He's a better this. He's a better that. He's a better this. He does this better. He does this better. And I want that voice from God's word, I want it to be the loudest voice you hear in 2017. That as all these other voices are out here, I want you to hear that one that Jesus is better. Jesus is better. And I want you to do that Monday. I want you to do that Tuesday morning. I want you to do that Wednesday morning. I want you to do that Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Every morning this week. That's my challenge. Simple, but I want you to see what it's going to be like next Saturday. And as you come into worship on Sunday, if that made your first week of 2017, what? Better. I guarantee it will. You want to take an extra step? Try it three times a day. Morning, sometime around lunch, and then right before you go to bed, read these three verses about how Jesus is better. Let that be the last thought that enters your conscious and sinks into your subconscious as you drift off into dreamland. And you watch and you see how 2017 is going to be better as you let God's word plant and root and grow into your heart with this simple, powerful truth that Jesus is better.